After 1989, President Bush said, and it's a phrase that I often use myself, that we needed a new world order.
There is a chance for the President of the United States to use this disaster to carry out what his father, a phrase his father used, I think, only once, and hasn't been used since, and that is a new world order.
We have before us the opportunity to forge, for ourselves and for future generations, a new world order.
There's a need for a new world order, but it has different characteristics.
It's possible to make people contented with their servitude. I think this can be done. I think it has been done in the past, but I think it could be done even more effectively now, because you can provide them with bread and circuses, and you can provide them with endless amounts of distractions and propaganda.
If this were a dictatorship, it'd be a heck of a lot easier. Just so long as I'm a dictator.
What I'm about to say is fact. The secret organizations of the world power elite are no longer secret. They have planned and are now leading us into a one-world communist government.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings.
I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore! I want you to get up right now. Get up, go to your windows, open them, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Resisting the technological enslavement system. This is the Live Free or Die radio show with your host, Lee Rogers.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of the broadcast. Today is Thursday, February 25th, 2010. You can check out my website at roguegovernment.com as well as the sister site, blacklistednews.com, for all the latest news and information on what's happening with the new world order. And probably not going to get into a lot of news today, because today we have a special guest, and we will be bringing him up after this first commercial break. Tonight we're going to have Lucas on the show for the entire 3 hours, and his website is the-rabbits-hole.com, and he did a very intriguing and compelling presentation on some very interesting information surrounding a lot of things that are going on today. And he's really got some killer information, and I'm really looking forward to bringing him on. And you can check out his presentation that he did at Brave New Books on all of this stuff that's going on. The fact that you have government entities and agencies, these alphabet soup organizations, moving a lot of their resources over to the Midwest. He also gets into the various cycles of these ancient civilizations and how that ties into this potential doomsday scenario with either the Planet X, Nibiru, or the Nemesis star, depending upon your point of view. A lot of that's up for conjecture, but basically what I really liked about his presentation is that he just presents a lot of facts, and you can draw your own conclusion as to what's going on. And there's just a ton of stuff we're going to get into. Some of the stuff we're seeing in Hollywood films pertaining to a potential disaster scenario. Of course, you have the Norway seed vault that they put together just a few years ago. So there's just a lot of stuff happening, and I'm convinced that they are gearing up for something. We'll also get into the Denver International Airport and some of the interesting paintings and murals and signs that are over there indicating that they may be prepping for something, and they see that area as a safe haven. So we have a lot to get into on the show today. So after the break, we will bring up Lucas. Again, his website is the-rabbits-hole.com, and we will get into all this information with him after the break. So folks, we'll be right back, and it should be a really interesting show. I'm looking forward to it. So we'll be right back after these messages. Stay with us, everybody. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the broadcast. Thank you very much for tuning in tonight. And my guest is Lucas. You can check out his website at the-rabbits-hole.com. There's a very intriguing video and text presentation up there on the website that gets into a whole wealth of information I highly recommend everybody out there to take a look at it. It'll definitely make you think the world a little bit differently. There's no doubt about that. And Lucas, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Sure, no problem. I first wanted to start off by giving you the chance to tell the audience more about yourself and how you got involved in all this information. I understand that before you did this presentation, you did a lot of research into 9/11 and things like that. So can you tell the audience a little bit more about yourself and how you got involved in all this research?
Yeah, sure, no problem. Basically, I've been researching this a long time since I've been about 16 years old. You know, I really didn't do too much when I was a kid, but, you know, certain things were brought to light back then that didn't look exactly right. And then 9/11 happened, and, you know, I looked at that. The day of 9/11, I mean, my friend right here, I told him that, hey, that doesn't look right. This is an inside job. You know, I knew pretty much that day that things didn't look right because, I mean, you just look at the buildings and it made pretty much no sense how they fell. But anyway, so I researched that a lot. And what happened is I started looking at 9/11 in a different light because I understood that basically they had purposely left a bunch of holes in the plot. I mean, you couldn't devise such a more stupid plot to have all these holes in it that people would you know, be able to figure out. And then I started realizing it's an effort, a diversionary tactic, and pretty much everything else was a diversionary tactic. So then I started researching why, what are they trying to divert our minds from? And that's kind of what led me down that whole path.
Yeah, it's very interesting because, you know, the whole 9/11 situation, you know, even if you just look at it for let's say 10 or 15 minutes, it's so obvious that the official story is a lie. It doesn't even take a whole lot of research to understand that. So, you know, in many respects, it is almost as if they left all these holes to get people to start questioning, well, this certainly doesn't look right. And I think you're really seeing that with a lot of the stuff that you see overseas with them trying to demonize America with the story of 9/11, because it's so obvious that's a fraud. But besides 9/11, since you believe it's a diversion, you started getting off in doing all this other research, which is kind of where I'm at as well. I'm looking at all these other things and everything else that's going on in the world besides, of course, looking at an event that occurred 8 years ago. And there's some very intriguing stuff that you uncovered in your presentation. And I first want to get into some of the different hieroglyphs, the pictographs. I'm not exactly sure what you call them. But these ancient pieces of artwork or drawings that were carved into mountains that depict these spirals. And these spirals, of course, mirror what we saw in Norway recently with the Norwegian spiral. Do you care to elaborate more upon your research into that?
Oh, yeah. Well, basically, I started researching all the current things going on, and then I started, you know, noticing certain elites run into the hills, the Bushes, and, you know, both senior and junior buying a bunch of land down in Paraguay along with Reverend Moon. And then I was like, why are they buying land down there? Maybe just to escape, you know, escape justice here. And I started seeing other things happening, you know, building the Denver airport and spending all that money. I mean, they're still working on that Denver airport 17 years later. And it typically takes about 2 years to build an airport, and they're still working on that thing. So I started questioning, you know, what's up with that? And then I couldn't really find any answers. And then I started to think, you know, I had put together a chart of civilizations, and I started to see a pattern of the rise and fall of various civilizations, and also animals like the, you know, the woolly mammoth and the big mammals that used to live in the Americas 13,000 years ago. And I thought, wow, that's, you know, so there's definitely a pattern of about 3,600 years that there's an event on the planet. Don't know exactly what it is, whether it's a, you know, a planet, a star, some sort of plasma cloud, whether it's the sun. You know, there's also a theory of the sun that when it reaches, it starts belching out large amounts of iron, and they would actually, you know, pummel the earth. So there's various different things out there. Now, the thing is, a lot of people want to, what the debunkers will try and do every time on this, the only fight they have against this is to try and get you to narrow down to a theory of what it is and what's going to happen. And if you just stick away from that, they can't debunk it because all the facts laid out in front of them, you know, pretty much show a clear pattern that the elites are running to the hills. So anyway, I started researching the ancient stuff, and I started noticing all these petroglyphs, is what they're called. They're cave,
okay,
either cave drawings, which are pictographs. Yeah, and the petroglyphs are like carved in the walls. So here I noticed all across the world that you had the same petroglyphs, the same spiral. And what was interesting about it was you could really find a majority of these. I mean, you find a couple at low-lying areas, but hardly thousands of these things everywhere. And you find them in the mountains of, like, Colorado, New Mexico, Utah, in the upper part of Arizona. And over on the other side of the world, you find them in the mountains over in Asia. So, basically, I started questioning that, and then all of a sudden, what was really unique about this is I had made this presentation, and it was done 3 days before the Norway spiral happened. So I had taken my presentation and shown it to my friends, and then all of a sudden the Norway spiral happened, and it really freaked people out because I just told them there was something to have to do with spirals. I don't know exactly what. And then that happened. That really freaked me out. That knocked me down a rabbit hole pretty far because, I mean, here you're talking about spirals, and all of a sudden, bam, the spiral, giant spiral appears in the air. What was interesting about it was, you know, here they try to dismiss it as a Russian rocket launch.
Right.
You know, you question that because, first of all, would the Russians ever launch a rocket, an ICBM, over the head of Barack Obama while he was in Norway at the time? And second of all, would, you know, if they did, wouldn't the news be talking about it every day? You know, could it have been a nuclear-armed missile? Could they have destroyed, you know, killed the president? But the news basically did, you know, they covered it up on Google.
Right. It could have been an act of war, basically.
The image. And not only that, the world leaders were there at the time. So there were a lot of questions around that. And the first thing you look for when you're looking for a conspiracy is whether they're really trying to cover it up or not. And sure enough, the Norway spiral was a big cover-up, just like the asteroid that hit Mexico a couple weeks ago. You know, hardly anybody knows about it. I bet you I talked to 1,000 people and I might find zero about the asteroid that hit in Mexico a couple weeks ago. But
right.
And it happened, and the news covered it up.
Well, hey, Lucas, that's a good place to leave off because we have to break. But I definitely want to get more into the Norway spiral as well as the asteroid that hit Mexico just a short period of time ago. It's very fascinating stuff. We'll be right back with my guest, Lucas, on the other side. Stay with us, everybody. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the show. I'm joined here with my guest, Lucas. His website is the-rabbits-hole.com. You can check out his video and text presentations with all sorts of source documentation. A number of the things we'll be talking about throughout the show. And you know what, Lucas, I mean, it must have been really bizarre to do all this research on these ancient petroglyphs, these cave drawings, these carvings with all these spirals, and then to see this Norway spiral all of a sudden appear and just verify a lot of the things that you've been researching. And, you know, I guess my question is, and I figured I'd ask you since there's been a lot of very interesting theories as to what the Norway spiral was. And I think we can dismiss the spiral being some sort of Russian rocket. But some people have theorized that the spiral may have been caused by the CERN facility because that was being fired up at the time. Others have said it was some sort of ritual, whereas others actually believe it might have been a real astrological event, maybe some sort of comet or something that was in the sky that caused this weird effect that we saw in the sky. I mean, out of curiosity, what's your take on what this actually was? You think it was a manufactured warning, or do you think it was something that was really some sort of astrological event that was outside of man's control?
To be honest, I don't know what it was. I mean, I could put my conjecture out there. I've thought of a bunch of different things. I don't think that it's CERN or Bluebeam or anything like that. There's been other theories that it's Bluebeam, but, you know, for instance, they wouldn't allow Jesse Ventura to put his shows out on the TV if they didn't want him to do it. And there's a reason why they let all this out there, you know. And HARP facility, I believe, my personal belief is that it's used to track the object in space, because if it's between 10 and 40 kelvins, like the scientists said it would be, that would actually absorb radar and absorb light so that you wouldn't be able to see it, and they'd have to use special measures like something like HARP. And so As to what it was, I don't honestly know. It could be the Russian. It could have actually been a Russian rocket, to believe it or not. It could have been purposely sent up there to, you know, to track the object. We don't know. All we know is that there was a major cover-up behind it, and that they didn't have HARP or Blue Beam or CERN 3,000-some-odd years ago when those spirals were drawn in the caves.
Right.
So one thing that I noticed, because, you know, I browse all different kind of forums and blogs and things like that, is I noticed that the Jesse Ventura HARP facility thing came approximately right before the Norway spiral, and then all of a sudden on the internet there was a massive wave of people posting things about HARP and about Blue Beam and about, you know, about those being the cause of the Norway spiral. And see, they wouldn't declassify things that they didn't want people to know. They put out, people don't understand that they put out fake things and then declassify it so that in the future when they need to use it, people will be misled and believe that that's what's really going on. And so as to what it is, it beats the heck out of me. But I know that the ancients feared it, because when you think in all reality, for these people all across the globe to basically, in some cases, carve these things deep into rock, you know, into granite, they wanted them to stay there for them. And for them to spend hours and hours and hours of tedious labor carving these huge spirals in the side of the rock means it was something that affected their lives tremendously. So, you know, people don't just carve things into rock just for the fun of it all across the world. There's got to be something that they all saw at the same time. Now, I mean, this might just be a prelude to it's something in the future that the whole world is going to be able to see at the same time. It's just that maybe at that exact point in time, it was only visible from Norway. Just like an eclipse, you know, people say, you know, I've heard the argument from debunkers, oh, if it was a cosmic event, then the whole world would have seen it. Well, then how come only the world sees a solar eclipse, right?
Right.
You know, only part of the world could see a solar eclipse at one time. So that theory doesn't hold any water. And so, I, to be honest, to answer your question, I really don't know what it was. It was something, though, the ancients feared.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. In a lot of the pictures that you see on your presentation, you see these petroglyphs, and basically you have the spiral, and the drawings almost look, or the petroglyphs, the carvings, you know, they basically look as if there's these people trying to escape something, and they're trying to escape whatever it is, this massive destructive force. And in order to escape it, they're climbing into the mountains where the goats are. I found that to be kind of interesting. And another thing that's really interesting is that in your presentation, you look at how over the past, well, actually for tens of thousands of years, but in particular, I want to focus in on the most recent history, the dating back to 10,000 BC, you had the sinking of Atlantis. And then after that, you had the flood where you have the story of Noah. And then in your presentation, then you have the next event, which occurred around the time of Moses. And so the next event is slated to happen roughly around this time, if that timeline proves accurate. Would you care to elaborate a little bit more on how you came across information for this timeline, and how it pertains into what might be happening today?
Well, that chart was years in the making. I've worked on that thing for a long time, and it was just basically, you know, searching out each civilization and finding out when they rose and when they fall, and just putting it together on a graph to where you could form a bigger picture once you see that the, you know, 3,600 years ago, the Minoans, the Egyptians, the Indus people of India, the you know, various I think it was the Xia people of China, all their various civilizations across the country basically stopped and restarted. Their societies fell, and they rose again after that. So there was definitely a clear pattern from 3,600 years ago. Also, the fall of Jericho, the destruction of the Tower of Babel, the what else was there? Oh, the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, and
yes,
also five other cities that were in the area of Sodom and Gomorrah at the time. So there was definitely something that caused major worldwide destruction about 3,600 years ago. And see, what I suspect is that they've known about this for a long time. I mean, you know, at least 50 years, maybe even possibly longer, and they've been preparing for it. They've definitely been tracking it for for about 20-some years and have been prepared for it. That's what all the conspiracies we see. See, the conspiracy is the conspiracy. Okay, all these things that are meant to keep us busy and, you know, keep people debating about 9/11, global warming. You think that they released that? They warming information most likely on purpose, you know, the climate gate, because what does it do? It divide and conquers.
Yep.
You know, it's a big old divide and conquer tactic, just like 9/11. And that's why you're not going to get any of the big radio guys talking about this stuff, because it doesn't suit them, because then they can't sell 9/11 videos anymore. Because once you do that, it's a moot point. All these other things become a moot point. It's like you have to concentrate on what the real deal is at the heart of the conspiracy.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. It's very interesting because, yeah, I mean, if there is this cyclical event that occurs every 3,600 years or roughly that amount of time, and they know that this event is slated to happen around this period of time, you know, I mean, obviously a lot of these other conspiracies they put out there would be used as a distraction from the bigger conspiracy, which is this event. It's very intriguing if that actually turns out to be the case. But folks, with the break again, we'll be right back. My guest Lucas on the other side. Stay with us. All right, welcome back to the show. I'm joined here by my guest Lucas. His website is the-rabbit-hole.com. You can check it out for all sorts of interesting information on various topics that really get into a massive conspiracy. It is really incredible. And Lucas, in your research, we've established that every 3,000-something years, you basically have some sort of event that occurs, some sort of event that causes widespread destruction on this planet. We've looked at Atlantis, the flood of Noah, as well as the event that occurred around the time of Moses that you just mentioned. This is all in his chart that he has laid out. It's very in-depth. I highly recommend that everybody take a look at it. It's very intriguing. And we've laid out that there's a cycle here that's going on of some sort. We don't know exactly what it is, but in the early 1980s, and I've known about this for a little while, the Washington Post reported on this, but you found a lot of other reports in addition to the Washington Post report and a few others about this potential 10th planet or some sort of mystery object. Would you care to elaborate more on this mystery object that was discovered in the early 1980s?
Yeah, sure. December 81, Astronomy Magazine launched a article called Search for the 10th Planet, where they, you know, scientists since the, 1800s, early 1800s, actually, have known of a body out there that caused a wobble in the orbit of Uranus and Neptune. And they have, that's how they actually found other planets, by using the orbital wobble to locate where the planets were. Well, they were always aware that there was something out there since the early 1800s, and so they started looking for it. And back in December 81, they were in an article in Astronomy Magazine called Search for the 10th Planet, and basically they were talking about, you know, the science behind why there would be another planet out there. And then it wasn't long after that 1982, New York Times, a story called Some Kind of Mystery Object is Really There. Newsweek ran a story that same month about the sun having a dark star companion, like a brown dwarf. Now, see, what's interesting is if our sun was a singular a soul, you know, basically a single star, it not locked in orbit with another star, that would be the exception, because the majority of stars out there are either in binary or trinary systems where they're orbiting other stars in highly elliptical orbits. So that would make us the exception. And, you know, that might fit right in with what's going on. Like I said, I try and stay at a conjecture of what it is, because it really doesn't matter what it is. I mean, whatever it is, it causes a lot of damage. You know, water event causes the oceans to rise and causes the actually get some sort of burning event where, you know, cinders and I mean, it's well documented in ancient Egyptian writings and in the Bible, even, you know, talking about you know, hot flaming hail coming out of the sky. So there's something out there that causes this every 3,600 years. And like I said before, what these guys are going to try and get you to do is spend all your time talking about what. You know, what is it? What is it? If you can't prove it, there's nothing. Well, that's not where the proof is. The proof is in what the elites are doing and the ancient writings and all that. So, you know, there's So basically what they've done is they ran a bunch of articles from December of 81 all the way till September of 84 in various, you know, newspapers, Washington Post, New York Times, things like that. And then in 1987, the last reference was in the New Science and Invention Encyclopedia. There's actually a reference to the show that they were launching the Pioneer 1 and 2 spacecraft to go out and you know, meet these two objects. They say in the encyclopedia that there's actually two objects, a dead star and a tenth planet that is orbiting it. And that would kind of sort of go along with what the ancient Sumerians say. And but there is a lot of disinformation attached to this stuff, too. What they do is they attach the alien thing to it. Okay, there's a group of people called the Zetas out there. They're the leading Planet X pushers, and they're a race of beings that have come from another planet to warn us of the impending doom. So the government knows how to manipulate people's mind. As long as they attach a bunch of disinformation to it, then the people will shy away from it and not really look at it.
Yeah, well, there's no doubt that what the government is involved in on a massive level is disinformation and psychological warfare operations. And, you know, you can look no further than Operation Mockingbird and things like that to see that that's definitely the case. And, you know, what I find really interesting about this so-called Planet X, this nemesis star, whatever you want to call this, is that all of these news reports that came out in the early 1980s, but then after these reports, which I would consider to be very significant news. I mean, if there's a 10th planet out there or a dark companion to the star, this is big news, and this should have been talked about a lot more. But all of a sudden, you see a media blackout. Nobody talks about it whatsoever. And then from there, you start seeing how they've vastly increased the money supply. You see how we've gone on this tirade around the world trying to get access to resources. Of course, you had the invasion of Iraq with the Gulf War. You've had the phony terror war. I mean, we've had all sorts of crazy stuff go on after these news reports came out. So, I mean, it's definitely something that's very interesting to see the various correlations. Would you care to comment on some of the preparations that they've been making? I'm just looking at your presentation. You got a lot of information here. Of course, you have the information on Rumsfeld and the $2.3 trillion missing. Well, where did it go? Are they using that money to prepare for this? I mean, there's a lot of questions here. But I was hoping if you could take some of the key points and the key information that you came across in all these preparations that they're making and that they have made over the past 30 or so years.
Okay, no problem. The first thing I want to do, just in case anybody that's listening wants to do this, the website is TheRabbits with an S, the-rabbits-hole.com, and you can go on and check out the whole presentation there. Some of the preparations they started out, the Georgia Guidestones was one of the things too. I always wondered why they used the word maintain humanity, which is very key. You know, the elites are so hubris. If they wanted to reduce population, they'd just say reduce population to 500 million. But no, they say maintain humanity, which basically states something after the fact. Well, I started doing research into Georgia Guidestones, and then I found the article from a magazine, which was really interesting. It was a really in-depth article that talked about the guy that had them built and the guy that built them. It was the biggest project of that little town's history. And basically, this guy came in there with a bunch of money and wanted to build an object that had 10 different languages, was 10 commandments, basically, for the new age. He wanted it to be virtually indestructible so that waves and earthquakes and strong winds couldn't destroy it. And still to this day, he's anonymous of who actually built that thing. And, you know, the first commandment, most people that are listening to the show probably are aware that it says maintain humanity, like after the fact. So not only that, the Georgia Guidestones is a astronomical clock. Basically, it's a clock, a calendar, and a marker to recalibrate after the fact. That's what the guy that was interviewed about the Georgia Guidestones talked about how it needed to be perfectly set so that a dazed mankind could try and figure out how many days were left in a year, and so that growing seasons could be easily figured out. So that there would be a lot less loss of life, I guess. So that really kind of pushed me in one direction, noticing that word maintain. And you know, what they've done is they deregulated the stock market back in the 80s during the Reagan time period. It was really interesting. You had the assassination attempt of Reagan, and then all of a sudden it was like he was a big puppet, like in that movie, not the movie, but Star Trek, where they have the one guy that's in command, but the guys are really running it behind the scenes, kind of like what Reagan was. The Bushes were there behind the scenes working everything, along with Cheney and Rumsfeld and all the other. Nazis, I guess you call them.
Yeah, the usual suspects, I guess.
So.
Yeah. Well, hey, Lucas, we're at the break. I want to pick up on what you're talking about after the break. But, it's really interesting. When you look at the assassination attempt on Reagan, the guy who supposedly was involved in this, his family was buddies with a lot of the Bushes. And there were news reports on this during that time frame. Very weird stuff. So we'll get into that and much more. My guest, Lucas, on the other side. Stay with us, everybody. All right, folks. Final segment of the first hour. Thank you for tuning in tonight. And joined here my guest, Lucas. The-rabbits-hole.com is the website. And we're going over a lot of the research that he's compiled in a very interesting and compelling presentation that you can check out up on his website. And just to recap, we basically have this cyclical event that occurs every 3,000 plus years that results in widespread destruction. If you look at Lucas's chart, you can see how everything's laid out. And on top of this, you have these pictographs, these carvings, these various things that were produced by the ancients in a lot of these mountainous areas. And this spiral correlates with the Norwegian spiral, which we just saw a few months ago. And then the 1980s, we have this discovery of some sort of object out there, be it Nemesis, a 10th planet. Of course, Nemesis being the second star companion to the sun. So we have that. We have a few reports of this, and then all of a sudden it goes right down the memory hole. No more reports on this. And then you have a lot of weird preparations taking place. We're talking about the Georgia Guidestones, which is, of course, this monument that has all sorts of astrological correlations to them and has all these different profound sayings, kind of like a new version of the Ten Commandments, as Lucas was saying. So you have all these preparations that are being made, and we're starting to get into some of the various things that Lucas has uncovered with the preparation. So, Lucas, besides the Georgia Guidestones, of course, we have Reagan, who in many respects is just a puppet. Of course, the assassination attempt appears to have been partly involved with the Bush family. If you look at the correlations between Mr. Hinckley, who is responsible for the assassination attempt, and the Bush family. So you have that going on. But you also have all these other preparations taking place as well. So if you could, I'd like you to finish up your thoughts on the assassination attempt against Reagan, and then maybe get into some of these other preparations they're making, in particularly the Denver International Airport.
Okay, great. One thing I want to touch on about the assassination attempt, if anybody could find the video from it, I've been looking for it for years and haven't been able to locate it. Basically, when I was younger, when it actually happened, I was watching TV, and I actually saw this live. Basically, Reagan was shot, and he was rushed to the hospital and all that. And all of a sudden, the two doors, there was two double doors, they open up, and Bush, Vice President Bush Senior, comes walking out, and he's got his tie all kind of undone, and his hair's messed up, and his shirt's a couple buttons lower, and the second he walks out the door, the first reporter sticks a mic in his face and says, Vice President Bush, what is the truth about your son having lunch with John Hinckley's brother today? And he says, what are you worried about conspiracy theories when our president's in the bed dying? And I saw that actually when it happened, and I've never been able to find a video for that since then. But anyway, yeah, to touch up on that, he was a puppet, and to move on to things, the Denver airport. And well, first of all, we had the first Gulf War, which basically was a complete setup. We we basically told Saddam Hussein it was okay to invade Iraq, where we're going to turn our backs. We didn't really have any interest in Arab conflicts. And as soon as they do invade, we act like the big salvation and come in and save everybody. It's already proven that girl who said the story about the babies being thrown around on the bayonets that was all made up, and she was paid several thousand dollars to do it when she was a little girl. So, you know, it's already shown that was already set up to be a, just to get us over there, have a reason to get our foot in the door.
Yeah, plus,
but
I just like to add
this,
real quick.
New World Airport.
Yeah, I just want to add real quick. Well, okay. We're also funding Saddam Hussein throughout the 1980s. We're funding him, and in the Iran-Contra affair, we're also funding arms to Iran. So, very weird stuff there.
Well, yeah, when you think about it, whenever we go in and we fund a country like Iraq, what we're actually doing is we're going in there and we're saying, hey, we're going to give you a bunch of funding and we're going to make you the king and great and everything's going to be great, but you're going to let us set up these organizations here and let us do this and do that and the other. So all the time that we're funding Saddam Hussein, we're actually in the process of overthrowing him. We're actually in the process of setting up the systems that are going to be eventually his downfall. And we went into Iraq. Obviously, we dumped the 177 million bombs on, or million pounds of bombs on Iraq over the course of 6 months. And, then obviously the September 11th, George Bush delivers his New World Order towards the New World Order speech. And then in, March? March 19th, 1994 is when they put up the capstone for the Denver New World Airport. That thing is a whole show in itself almost. I mean, literally, the thing is an amazing, like I said, they were working up for 17 years. They've hired several different dozens of contractors to build the sublevels. What they do is they hire this one contracting outfit, and then they'd fire them. And they bring in another one, and they fire them, and they do this for every sublevel of the building. And the tented roof was designed by NASA aerospace guys. That basically, it's a type of Kevlar. And the murals themselves are pretty telling. I mean, there's just all kind of Masonic symbolism and Nazi symbolism. You look at it, and what do you have? You have a swastika with a phallus and testicles underneath it. And even the roads, I mean, the roads are named, Pena Boulevard and the Pena Boneyard and Union Street. These guys aren't messing around. I mean, they literally put this stuff right out there in front of people. And
The mural, even the murals inside the airport are really striking. A lot of apocalyptic artwork within the airport itself. And then you have that horse that's out there as well.
Oh yeah, the 32-foot statue of the horse of the apocalypse, which was amazing that the thing actually killed its sculptor right before they hauled it out there to the Denver airport. That thing actually, the sculptor was a pretty famous guy. He was a Hispanic sculptor, I guess, from Mexico that had immigrated to the United States, and basically was this controversial sculptor who had done a lot of different controversial things. And this thing falls on him and he bleeds out. And it's kind of weird that thing killed him right before they wheeled it out there. If that's really what killed him, you never know what happened these days. Just like the madam that hung herself. Good God. It's just amazing what's going on these days. And, everybody's been diverted. Their attention's been diverted to, you think about the majority of people, they're all thinking about Britney Spears and all that American Idol stuff. And then even the majority of people in the conspiracy that are open-minded in this whole realm of things, they're diverted because they're all concentrating on 9/11 or global warming or, HARP or whatnot. They're all concentrated on different things and not realizing that they're all there for a bigger hide, something much major, much more major.
Yeah, well, it is very interesting, and the electricity almost went out here, so, man, we got some crazy weather up here in New Hampshire, and that's something I definitely want to get into probably in the second hour, is all this crazy weather that we've been seeing, and earthquakes, and events like that. That's obviously something that kind of correlates into some of the research that you've done, and, yeah, the power has gone completely out here. Wow. hopefully I'll be able to stay on. I got some battery backup, so we'll see how it goes. But, yeah, basically, man, sorry about this, Lucas. Power's gone completely out here. But hopefully you can still hear me.
Hey.
Yeah, I guess
I'm
still here.
Oh, yeah, I can still hear me?
Yeah, well, I'm glad my battery backup's working. That's fantastic. Well, hey, we have to break anyway, and it looks like the power came back on. But I definitely want to get more into the Denver International Airport. We've got a short segment coming up, so what we'll do is we'll get more into the Denver International Airport and the talk about underground facilities and why they're building this thing. Because there's actually an airport there before that worked perfectly fine, but now they have this massive airport here. So obviously they are building that for a specific purpose. So it's very interesting stuff indeed. Folks, we'll be right back with my guest, Lucas, on the other side. Stay with us. All right, folks, second hour of the show. Thank you for tuning in tonight. My guest is Lucas, the-rabbits-hole.com. We can check out all of his research. Very intriguing stuff. And, Lucas, any other information that you'd like to share about the Denver New World Airport? I think we've covered quite a bit. Also, of course, there's underground layers to this thing that people have talked about as well. Any other thoughts on the Denver New World Airport?
Well, one of the things they showed you in the Jesse Ventura thing, see where the disinformation lies there is they're trying to tell you it's 2012, and I doubt that that's the case. I think that's when it's all over and done with, is 2012. You know, they showed you in that conspiracy theory show that they're building tunnels that belong to the Denver airport that are 2 miles away from the facility itself. So they're definitely building a bunch of tunnels. Oh, what was I going to say about it? You know, the airport itself is a big hassle. It costs a ton of money. It costs almost $6 billion. They could pump 1,000 gallons of fuel per minute. They moved about one-third of the amount of dirt that it took to move to create the Panama Canal to build that airport. And really, what is an airport? It's just a building with some runways, and why would they need to move that much dirt? And it replaced Stapleton Airport, basically, and everybody liked Stapleton. It was in a great area, didn't have any delays. But this new airport, it's in a high wind area. It's got a lot of delays to it, people were, you know, they were happy with the airport they had. So, yeah, pretty much it was a big hassle for everybody, there you have it. You got a $6 billion airport that's probably used for the elite to when it all hits the fan.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. It's very interesting because, you know, why would they spend all this money building this massive airport and just all this resources that they've funneled into this? I mean, why? I mean, there has to be a purpose for this, and I think there's definitely something to that. They're definitely preparing for something. And this is just one of the preparations. Of course, you have the Norway Seed Vault, which we'll get into. And then you have the fact that the government is moving all these agencies from places like Virginia over to the Midwest. I guess the CIA, the Environmental Protection Agency, and there's been a lot of government agencies that have been starting to move resources from areas that might be affected by some sort of cataclysmic event over to the Midwest. We got about a minute before the break, but would you care to comment real quickly on some of that stuff?
Yeah, I'll go into the most shocking one. It's the Vatican. It's had a library open for over 500 years to the public without closing it down ever, and they've now closed it down, and they say it won't be reopened until at least September of 2010. So this is the first time that thing's been closed down in over 500 years, and so that's pretty big. And, you know, they moved the CIA, basically they moved the head of the military, because what they did is they created a new head of the military called NORTHCOM, which basically heads up all the domestic divisions. And so now that all Homeland Security and Department of Defense is now under NORTHCOM, which is located in Colorado Springs, you know, not far away from NORAD and Cheyenne Mountain and all that stuff. I mean, it's all in that, you know, immediate vicinity. You've got Monsanto up in Denver. You've got IBM up in Denver. You got all kind of things going on up there.
Wow.
Just go to Google Earth one day and start looking at all the various things happening up in the Denver, Colorado Springs.
Yeah, it's very intriguing. Hey, Lucas, we'll pick up on that where we left off on the other side. We have to break. We'll be right back. Stay with us, folks. Today, joined with me for the full 3 hours is Lucas. You can check out his website at the-rabbits-hole.com. And we're talking about a number of different topics here. And one of the things that we're diving into right now is the fact that the elite are preparing for something. There is no doubt about this. We went over the cycles of the 3,000 plus years. Every 3,000 plus years, there's some sort of event that appears to take place, and it appears to be very cyclical in nature. And it appears as if right now, looking at all these articles that Lucas has compiled, that they are preparing for something. What that is, it's hard to say. But, of course, we have the Denver International Airport, which we just talked about. You have the closing of the Vatican Library. A lot of stuff here, Lucas. I'm just looking at some of the things on your website. And you have, of course, what's this? You have the CIA relocating its headquarters to Denver. The EPA starting to close down its library network. The Doomsday Seed Vault. Very interesting stuff here. Any other preparations you'd like to comment on or anything else that you think is important that the audience should know about?
Yeah, I think it was pretty interesting that just a couple weeks before the earthquake swarm started under Yellowstone, they went and installed a bunch of equipment out there. Now, what's happening is back in 2008, the earthquake swarms started in December, I believe, and then they went on through January and then slowed down again. And then all of a sudden, the same thing happened at the same time this past winter. So there were some pretty amazing swarms that went through there. 3.4 was one of the highest. It was the highest one, I think. But I also think that the USGS is covering up a lot of stuff because I know that they also downgraded the earthquake. So the earthquake scale by 1 whole percent, or 1 whole point. So really, what you saw that happened in Haiti is that actually an 8.0 on the old scale. And it's only been recent that they've done that. And I'm sure they did that in preparation for this to make all the various earthquakes seem a little less significant. They've been going above and beyond the call to try and cover up a lot of these things, like that Mexican asteroid. That to me, blows me away that they can cover that up. That and a Norway spiral. I mean, you talk to almost anybody, and they don't know what they've never heard of the Norway spiral or saw anything about it, but yet it was there, and it was huge, and it was in the sky. And the people in Norway were scared to death. I mean, they flooded the phones. Freaking out, screaming and yelling, and literally there were tens and tens of thousands of people that called in, upset and scared about this thing. And another thing that was weird, right, is when I put out some Norway spiral videos, I got some of my videos, it wouldn't tell me on YouTube, but they were blocked in certain countries. It'd say, this video has been blocked in certain countries. I don't know what countries they were blocked in, but they were not allowing certain people to see the Norway spiral. As for preparations, there's almost too many to list. Literally, the elites buying land in high places, like I said, the Bushes and Moon down in Paraguay. The military deploying on U.S. soil. At first, it started out with 6,000 troops, and then it went to 20,000, and now they want to raise it to 80,000 troops on U.S. soil. Just the other day, they did this really strange mock thing on CNN about some sort of cyber attack on the power grids, and that's just going to be covering up for any type of coronal mass ejections probably that's out. They're going to say it's everything that happens, they're going to try and use that as a means to attack other countries, I believe. Like, the power grid goes down, they're going to say terrorists did it, now we got to attack Iran. Something gets blown up, they're going to say, oh, it must have been a bomb from somebody. Because maybe an asteroid hits or something, whatever's been hitting the planet, there's been a lot of things, well more than normal, hitting the planet over the last year. And so I think they're going to start trying to explain these things as terrorist attacks and things like that. And I wouldn't even be surprised, hardly anybody knows that there was a tsunami involved with the Haiti earthquake, or that there was an earthquake. There were two big, huge earthquakes in the Solomon Islands and tsunamis that wiped out tribes, and the news buried all that, too. So there's all these natural disasters going on that the news has been burying because everybody's concentrated on Tiger and all those guys. So,
yeah, well, I guess Tiger Woods is... Yeah, Tiger Woods is more important than all these other major natural disasters and also our news that's coming out that should be focused in on. And, the media does this all the time. And yeah, it's very fascinating because I'm looking at a lot of this other stuff that you've posted up here I mean, there's just so much to talk about. I mean, some of these news stories we literally could spend hours on. It's that incredible. I definitely want to get into all the different things that are falling out of the sky. There's a ton of stuff on ice chunks falling out of the sky, meteorites, of course, and you got the earthquakes, the tsunamis. I mean, a lot of weird weather-related events that are definitely occurring. You know, I mean, I'm not exactly sure what to make of this. Clearly, there's something strange happening here. I mean, I'm just looking at all these links. I remember back in 2009, there was a lot of these events of just weird things falling out of the sky. And you've definitely done a great job documenting a lot of this stuff up on your website. I mean, do you have anything further to add on these asteroids that are these meteorites and all these things that are falling out of the sky?
Yeah, here's a perfect example. Was it, let me find a date here. Yeah, they classified on June 11th of last year, they classified space rocks as now top secret.
Yes.
What used to be open to public scientists for years, they went ahead and they classified them as top secret. Well, why would they have to classify that as top secret? Don't you think that they'd want every scientific mind in the world looking for space rocks because they could be a potential hazard to humanity? But no, they classify them as top secret. And not only that, they also launched the PanSTARRS, the Panoramic Survey Telescope and Rapid System. Basically, it's designed to look for, near Earth objects and find them and basically warn. You know, it's a rapid response system. It's everything it says. So they're definitely preparing for something from space, and they want to divert. See, most people don't realize anymore because of light pollution how much junk and stuff and things are out there in space. Just go to the mountains one time and let your eyes adjust to the dark and look at the sky on a clear night, and you'll see trillions and trillions of things out there. And so, since people have been disconnected from that because of light pollution, they don't really think about it that much. But right. There has definitely been a change. I've noticed a lot of astronomers talking about
the moon. Lucas, I hate to cut you off, man, but we have to break again, unfortunately.
Okay.
But we'll pick it up right where we left off on the other side. We'll be right back with my guest, Lucas. Stay with us. All right, folks, welcome back to the show. Joined here my guest, Lucas. The-rabbits-hole.com is his website, and lots of intriguing research and information up there. Outline what could very well be one of the most crazy, insane conspiracies you could possibly imagine. And it could very well be true, considering all the misdirection that we're seeing from the media, even in the realm and scope of the conspiracy research movement. I mean, Lucas, this is some compelling information here. And, you know, I encourage everybody out there to take a look at this stuff. You know, just take a look at it and judge it for yourself. There's some very intriguing stuff here. And before the break, we're talking about how there's a lot of stuff falling out of the sky. We're talking about these earthquakes and tsunamis and all these things that are going on that may very well be as a result of something that's happening in the heavens. You know, we're not 100% sure, but it's certainly a real possibility. And then you take a look at how the UN is preparing for ways to try to battle new Earth objects or near Earth objects, rather, not new Earth objects, kind of a slip of the tongue there, but near Earth objects like asteroids and things of that sort. And you have a very intriguing picture that's shaping up. And also, besides what you're talking about with the things falling in the sky, I want to get your take on the fact that we are using this phony terror war to go around these various countries to basically loot them for resources and look for different archaeological sites, artifacts, and things of that sort. And we know the Nazis were doing that back around the World War II era. So it seems as if they've continued that sort of agenda using the American military for the same reasons, the same type of deal that the Nazis were involved in many decades ago. So I'd like to get your take on that, and if you'd like to further or give us more of your thoughts on these various things that are falling in the sky, I think that'd be great. So please, you have the floor.
All right, cool. Well, basically, what I wanted to say is everything that on the presentation is pretty much fact, and there's other things that I've found that I couldn't 100% prove without a shadow of a doubt that I didn't include in there. And that's the whole Nazi thing and the Basically, my research leads me to believe that World War II was just like what we're going through now, is a big ruse. It was a big diversion. While that was happening, the elites were paying the Nazis to span the globe and as much, you know, areas they took over and look for ancient artifacts. The swastika is an ancient Indian symbol, and I believe that's the symbol of the Dark Star, and that that's why they adopted that. So, basically, you know, what it looks like is that they basically used the Nazis to search for information, and then once they found what they were looking for, they put a stop to the war. They took all the top Nazis and put them down in South America, including Hitler, and basically brought all the scientists here to America, and they gave up a bunch of cronies, you know, to the wolves, you know, through the Nuremberg trials and all that,
right?
You know, for public show. But, you know, under Operation Paperclip, they brought all the important people that they needed here to America, because they're the ones that had all the information and were going to be able to set up NASA to be able to track this object and prepare around it. And so it looks like they've known for a long time. And go back in time here, but basically, you know, we were talking about the preparations before. Another big one that we didn't talk about was the chemtrails. And the chemtrails contain high amounts of barium, which has already been shown in a couple different instances. And barium is used as a getter. It's a material that combines and removes various things like radiation, X-ray radiation especially. So
that's true. I actually had an upper GI done, and they gave me barium. They made me swallow this barium. That's absolutely.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
True. Yep.
Yeah, and so basically they spray this barium in the atmosphere, because if there is a dark star and another planet, both it might be both. See, people might be arguing back and forth whether it's a star, whether it's a planet. It could very well be both. And if there is a brown dwarf, see, brown dwarfs, our sun emits most of its energy in the form of light and heat, okay? With a brown dwarf, it doesn't have a nuclear reaction like our sun does, but there's still a chain reaction going on. And what's happening is it's emitting large amounts of radiation as it's, you know, emits radiation in the form of X-rays rather than the form of light and heat. So that would be why they would need to put the barium up there to, you know, keep the massive amount of X-rays from hitting the planet. So, you know, in conjunction with the preparations, you do research into barium and see exactly what it's used for. It's used for, you know, fly ash glasses for radiation shielding. It's, you know, it is used in the suspension, like you said you did, so that they can, it absorbs the X-rays and allows them to be filmed so they can look at your intestines. And so that's, you know, another preparation is the chemtrails. So to jump back in time to what we were talking about before, they've been preparing for this. If you notice, when the chemtrails started in the 80s, pretty much everything started in the 80s. Once they probably exactly located the object, well, they said it was about 50 billion miles away from Earth. Now, at the rate that you know, stars travel through the galaxy, it's not inconceivable that that thing could be in our area at this exact time. It would only take, you know, at the speeds of things travel like that, I think it would only take anywhere between 20 and 25 years to get here. So, you know, no realm of possibility here. And like I said, we don't know exactly what it is, but that really doesn't matter. You're gonna find all across the internet everybody trying to pin you down everywhere you go about what is it, when is it, what is it, when is it, and that's really not what's, you know, important. What's important is getting prepared so that when it happens, you're not left out in the you know, you're not facing big waves or things like that. So I guess, you know, you had the Nazis, they looked for it, they brought them here, and they've been preparing ever since. And that's as far back as I'm able to go. Like I said, I suspect that they've known about it for 100 years at least. They've really found out, you know, back with the Nazi during the 40s and 50s. And then in the 80s, they were able to scientifically find it, narrow down where it was, and approximately when it gets here. I don't even know if the elites know when it's going to happen. They just know that it's going to happen soon. So I don't even know if anybody knows, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, it's very intriguing, and I think you're right, because, you know, there's going to be some guesswork. Even if there is this object that's out there that they know of, you know, they might not have the exact science down as to when exactly it's going to hit. And, you know, that's why I believe this whole 2012 thing, as I believe you said earlier in the show, is just a massive psyop. And, of course, we had that movie 2012 depicting this apocalyptic scenario. And then, of course, you have our films like Deep Impact and Armageddon and things like that. Even the film Knowing that came out depicting this massive solar flare just destroying the planet. And, of course, there's aliens in that film. It's just unbelievable to see the type of stuff that we're seeing in Hollywood. And I definitely want to talk about that with you. Some of the information that we're seeing in Hollywood that kind of correlates in with this research. So, unfortunately, we're at the break. We have about 30 seconds before the break. But on the other side of the break, we'll get Lucas's thoughts on some of the information that's coming out in Hollywood films that pertains to this potential disaster scenario depicting this object that's in the heavens that may cause widespread destruction on the planet. And again, we're not trying to fearmonger here, but I mean, we're just trying to get out some information. I think this is some very compelling stuff that needs to be discussed. So we'll be right back with my guest, Lucas. Stay with us. All right, folks, welcome back again. You can check out my website at roguegovernment.com. Got some news and information up there if you want to take a look at the latest current events of what's happening in the world today. And I'm joined here by my guest, Lucas. The-rabbits-hole.com is the website. And you know what, Lucas? One of the things that's really interesting to me is some of the material that we have seen in Hollywood films that correlates in with some of this research and some of this stuff that we're seeing happen right now. Of course, the stuff with the Yellowstone and the earthquakes, a lot of that was actually depicted in the 2012 film that just came out. And this is the same guy that did films like Independence Day and A Day After Tomorrow, these disaster films depicting widespread destruction. And I'd like to get your take on these various films that are depicting these apocalyptic scenarios that kind of correlate with what we might see in a scenario that these ancients actually drew in these mountain carvings. Particularly the scene you see at the end of Deep Impact, you see this scene in which people are running away from this massive tidal wave up into the mountains. And I know we talked off air about this, but and I believe this is true too, but it seems as if these people are actually talking to one another through Hollywood films. And in many respects, I think that's why you saw things like The Lone Gunman showing the 9/11 attacks 6 months before they actually took place. So, Lucas, can you give us your thoughts on what's happening with Hollywood films and all this social engineering and predictive program that we're seeing in them?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things going on when it comes to that. The History Channel's now been turned into the Armageddon Channel. You got various shows all over the television. You know, when it comes to the other show called Apocalypse Man, and you know, the Survivor series, and Survivor Man, Man versus Wild, The Colony. They've got all these survival shows that depict a situation where you may need to be in a, you know, they show you different survival techniques, and so. What I believe the elites have done is they purposely put out the, you know, that they're reducing population so that that's the conspiracy, so that everybody concentrates on this, and then instead of realizing that there's going to be a natural event, it's going to automatically reduce population. And the elites themselves don't even know if they're going to survive. They're just as scared as everybody else. And basically in the movies, you just see, I mean, it's gone to a disaster scenario throughout all the various movies. 28 Days Later, all these different movies and TV shows are depicting natural disasters or even man-made disasters, but they all come down to the same thing. People running from their lives and trying to survive in a post-apocalyptic world. And, you know, you talk about the communication. Imagine how easy it would be if you wanted to communicate between large amounts of people. Okay, all you have to do is put a trigger point in any type of any type of media, and you could just say that once you see this trigger point, you know that this is what the plot is going to be. And you'll notice a lot of these movies, like for instance, 2012. The plot was malarkey. It didn't have any plot. You know, a 4-year-old could have written a plot to that. You know, a 4-year-old could have written that plot. And, you know, that's because the plot is behind the scenes. You know, the real talent of it is hiding all the subliminal stuff in the movies. And, you'll see this all over the place. I mean, if anybody wants to see something that'll really push you down the rabbit hole, watch a series that some guy on the internet created called 9/11 in Hollywood. It's a 31-part series, and it'll literally show you how many times between like 1990 and 2001 that 9/11 was referenced in movies, and you'd be shocked to know how many. And then after 2001, it pretty much stops. You know, it's like, so they were projecting that date out there. And even, this is a really good for instance. I mean, it's kind of scary, but I mean, Prince, he was over in a country over in Asia somewhere doing a concert, and he's doing a show. At the very end of the show, it's called Bin Laden's Gonna Bomb. And singing the song, Bin Laden's Gonna Bomb, Bin Laden's Gonna Bomb. And then at the end, he goes, I got to get back to America before 2001, before Bin Laden drops the bomb. I mean, and he did that back in 1999, I believe it was. So, you know, some people know what's going on when it comes to these things, because obviously they're in the loop. Or you don't even have to attend meetings if they use these pieces of media for communication. If you know the triggers and you know what to look for, then you don't have to go to weekly meetings to keep updated. You can just keep on watching what's coming out in the mainstream, and you know, you see the trigger points, and then you know what's going on. So I think that they're actually using. I actually talked to Jordan Maxwell about this on, you know, for a couple hours on the phone, and he also thinks that you know, that they're using media to communicate plain view in front of everybody. Because, you know, if they always had things like the Bilderberg meeting, they'd always have crowds of people gathering around with bullhorns and stuff yelling. So they have to find a better way to communicate and not be so secretive about it, but be right out in the open in front of everybody's eyes.
Yeah, I definitely agree. You know, they use a lot of symbolism. And of course, you know, you take a look at these plot lines and you take a look at the whole 9/11 thing. And obviously there's something very weird going on there. The one that really struck out at me was Neo's passport in The Matrix, and it says September 11, 2001 on the passport, and you know, I'm just wondering, well, geez, I mean, well, that film came out a few years before the 9/11 attack, so there was definitely a lot of predictive programming and a lot of information that was put out about the 9/11 attacks in movies, and of course, The Lone Gunman, which I talked about before, so there's definitely something going on there. I guess, like, another thing I want to mention, and I know you put this in your presentation towards the end, but the band Soundgarden, they actually did a song, and this is one of their biggest hits back in the 1990s. I remember it was huge back in 1994, 1995. They played this song all on all the big rock stations. That was when, of course, before we had satellite radio and everything we have now. But it was a big song, and that was, of course, Black Hole Sun. And you look at the video, and you look at the lyrics, and it provides a post or provides an apocalyptic scenario in the video in which this object is coming down to the earth, and people are all scared of the object, and there's somebody who has a sign that says the end is near or something to that effect. And the lyrics kind of depict almost what we're talking about here, Lucas. Do you have any thoughts on Soundgarden and that particular song?
Oh, yeah. That is really unique, actually. If you want to research, the interesting thing about bands, and you get a bunch of guys, creative guys, sitting around talking about, you know, drinking beer, talking about songs to write, and they're thinking about deep, heavy ideas, you know, and they start putting pieces together. And so you get bands like Soundgarden, Tool, Godsmack, Linkin Park, you know, all these guys, they're all friends. They all know each other. They've all, you know, Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine, Audioslave, all these guys are all friends, and they all hang out together, and they're all talking about the same exact thing. And, I mean, a lot of Soundgarden songs are about this. I mean, if you just go through their catalog, especially off the Super Unknown album, pretty much every song on that album is about, it's even got a devil on the front cover. You know, it's about this event. And, It's amazing. You know, for instance, Spoon Man, you know, what they do is they say, oh, it's about heroin, but really it's not about heroin. It's about, looking back in time at ancient people. Like, he talks about, all my friends are brown and red. All my friends are Indians. All my friends are skeletons. They beat the rhythm with their bones. That's how I found out. That's what summed it up for me, was the ancients, was the ancient Indians who put these petroglyphs in the caves and stuff. And for instance, another song that they did was you know, The Day I Tried to Live is another good one when it's a reference to this. He wakes up and there's no gravity. Another song is, I can't think of it. I'll come back to that later. But so, you know, these bands, like, for instance, Tom Morello is the one that created Tool. He basically introduced the guys together to create Tool. And then Tom Morello went on with Cornell to form Audioslave. And so all these guys are kind of in the know. They probably figured it out. And just like we do, you know, they're not really they're considered dogs. Okay. Just like Pink Floyd, the Wall, pigs, dogs, and sheep. Okay. The pigs are the elites at the top. The dogs are the entertainers and all the cronies and the general masses are the sheep. And, you know, the dogs probably spread the same stuff around just like we do. You know, they talk to their friends about things and, you know, try and warn their buddies. And so sure you have, you know, a lot of bands out there that know about this stuff.
Yeah, I'm sure. You know, you just look at the lyrics and the themes presented, some of these videos and songs are out there. Very intriguing stuff, absolutely. But we have to break again. On the other side, we'll continue our conversation with Lucas, and we'll be right back. Stay with us. All right, final segment of the second hour, and thank you again for tuning in. My guest is Lucas. You can check out his website at the-rabbits-hole.com. Very intriguing information up there. I highly recommend everybody take a look at it, because it's definitely something that will make you think about the New World Order and about what's happening in, I guess you could say, a different connotation, a different way. And it's definitely, it's incredibly compelling info. So definitely check it out. And we've been going over a lot of this info that is up on his website. We've gone over the civilization chart. We've gone over the discovery of this object in the 1980s that essentially got swept under the rug. Just got sucked right down the memory hole. And all these preparations the elite are making for something. With all these resources being moved out into the mountains and the Vatican closing their library, these observatories being built, of course, all these weird objects falling out of the sky, the earthquakes, the tsunamis, there's just so much going on. And to top it all off, of course, we have these Hollywood films that seem to tie into all of this. And also, in addition to that, you have songs like Black Hole Sun by Soundgarden and other music that seems to be, I guess you could say, what's the right word I'm looking for? Well, it seems to be influenced by a lot of this information that Lucas has up on his website. But Lucas, before the break, we're talking about Soundgarden. We're talking about some of these bands and some of the stuff that we're seeing from these entertainers. Is there anything else that you want to add on that front?
No, that's pretty much it. I mean, anybody that looks at, like, for instance, what they do, like, with Black Sabbath, if you look at the lyrics of what's in the songs, it's not about Satanism. It's about a cosmic event. And same thing with Dio, you know? And what they do is they label this as Satanism. And, you know, so, you know, just do research into the different, you know, bands that are all affiliated with each other and Soundgarden and the other bands, and you'll find they pretty much all sing about the same thing. Even Godsmack, they do a song called Spiral, where they talk about running away and living again to see another day, running from the spiral, you know. And so, yeah, I mean, you got a lot of bands that talk about this stuff. Back to the actual things going on, there's been dramatic changes in the sun. That's one of the main things. The sun has been acting tremendously different ever since it encountered the comet NEAT 2003. You know, you've had the North Pole movement has suddenly jumped. There's been rapid changes in Earth's liquid core and the magnetic field. The Chandler wobble, it's the wobble of the Earth, that had an anomaly in it in 2006 that nobody could explain. Basically, that stopped and I guess you'd have to look at the charts to understand it. Now, 2009, cosmic rays have increased 19%, 19% above the previous highest recorded level. So we're getting bombarded with cosmic rays. Cancer is up all over the world, you know, not just in humans, but pets. I mean, people's pets are getting cancer everywhere. They're taking them and having tumors removed. You know, frogs, all different kind of animals are getting cancer. So it's not just, you know, not just humans. And, you know, I also suspect that's what some of this GMO crop stuff is. That's why they released it out into the wild. You know, these guys aren't that stupid. They knew after the killer bee, you know, incident where they really, you know, those bees got out that messing with genetics was a bad thing. So I suspect that's why they're purposely releasing these GMO crops out there, is because they're probably more radiation proof. You know, natural disasters are up 400% in the last decade. You know, and the bees are disappearing like mad. And bees, how they navigate around the, you know, what they do is they find a food source and they navigate using the flock, basically. And if you know, we're getting bombarded with you know, cosmic rays, the magnetic field is down tremendously. They're pumping barium into the air. The bees, probably what happens, the reason why they can't find any carcasses is because these things go out, they have a very high metabolism. They can't go for long without food. So they get out, they can't find their way back to the hive, and they starve, basically. It doesn't take very long. Shark attacks, another animal that navigates around the ocean using electromagnetic fields, they've been skyrocketing. You know, tons of whale shark sightings down in the Gulf, which are baffling scientists. You know, beachings of squid and various creatures all over the world. You know, I mean, I don't think this is related, but the orca ate its trainer the other day, which was kind of a weird story. Probably not related at all, but I figured I'd throw that out there.
Oh, yeah, down SeaWorld, right? The whale.
I can't help but agree with it, man, because I hate that when they cage up those animals. You know what I mean? It's just like, just let those things go and put them out in the wild. They don't belong in a cage the size of a swimming pool. But so there's been, you know, dramatic changes throughout not only the weather. I mean, obviously we saw weather. Here I'm in far north Austin, and we got, you know, about 2.5 inches of snow the other day. And this morning when I went out, there was still snow on the ground. I've never seen snow stay longer than a half a day here in Austin ever. So it's, you know, there's been snow. Dallas got 14 inches of snow. My hometown up in Pennsylvania is getting hammered with 2 feet of snow right now. They've already been hit by 3 other snowstorms, major ones this year. You saw the UK, that's extra cold weather. And
they got hit hard.
If you follow the charts, if you follow the ice core chart for the ice ages, we are well overdue for an ice age. It seems like the span in time in between the events gets a little longer each time. Like, the span in between the ice ages, it seems to be taking a little longer for it to happen each consecutive time, which may be explained by something like, you know, the expanding universe, you know, things get farther apart. You know, I don't know the exact science behind that, but there is definitely, you know, we're well due for an ice age. And, you know, that's 80,000 years of this world being at 6 degrees colder than it is now, which means pretty much humanity lives by the equator and goes back to hunter-gatherer status.
Well, it's very intriguing, to say the least. And, man, I don't know. You know, I hope, I really hope that there isn't this object out there that's going to come and do all this stuff. But, you know, there definitely is some weird things going on. And, you know, I understand that there is information out there indicating that we do have technology to manipulate the weather and things of that sort and cause earthquakes. I mean, I firmly believe we do have that. But, I mean, there is just an unbelievable amount of these different occurrences that are going on. You know, I don't believe that every single event is necessarily manipulated by some sort of technology or by some people as part of some sort of conspiracy. You know, there definitely seems to be a pattern that's going on that is leading to more natural disasters. I mean, this shift in the North Pole, the magnetic north, and that in and of itself is very weird. You know, that to me indicates that there's definitely something strange going on. And then on top of that, you know, I think I mentioned this to you off air, but NASA shot these weird photos of the sun in which there are these globes, like these Death Star like objects or these circular objects floating around the sun, and NASA hasn't really said anything about that. So there's definitely a lot of weird things going on that I don't think could be explained just from mainstream conventional thinking.
Well, you know, that's why I keep an open mind as to what's really happening. I also suspect, you know, it may not, okay. the interaction between another star and our star, we don't know what exactly could happen. And
right.
There's also another theory out there of a plasma electric related sun, and basically that our sun, that the whole theory about it is not exactly right, and that plasma plays a huge role into this, and that every so many years, basically the sun will go through this period where it belches out large amounts of iron spheres. And that if you look at the backside of the moon, you can see that thing has been pummeled with something. And I wouldn't even, doubt that they might have, that whatever crashed into the sun when they say we bombed the moon might have been a natural event. We just, said that we did it because, it kind of came out of nowhere. All of a sudden, one day we're like, oh, we're going to bomb the moon in a couple days.
That's true,
it
yeah.
Like a story that was, it just came out of nowhere and then all of a sudden, it just went away.
Yeah, we got a break, but we'll pick this up on the other side. Stay with us. All right, ladies and gentlemen, third hour of the show, and thank you very much for tuning in. My guest is Lucas. You can check out his website at the-rabbit-hole.com for a lot of information and research on what could very well be the grandest conspiracy of them all. And, I'm not 100% sure what's going to happen over the next couple of years, but certainly there's some interesting information here that I think everybody should look at and just judge for yourself what to make of it. I mean, that's all we can really ask. And I definitely think it's compelling. They are absolutely preparing for something. I think that much is certain. When you look at the Denver International Airport, when you look at the CIA moving some of their operations over to the Midwest, and they're moving all of this stuff into mountainous regions, the Reverend Moon, the Bushes down in Paraguay. I mean, there's some very intriguing stuff here. But Lucas, another thing that's kind of interesting that we haven't touched upon, besides all these natural disasters and earthquakes and all these things that are clearly ratcheting up, all the weird weather. Of course, up here, we basically got a hurricane going on outside that has practically knocked my electricity off a few times while I've been doing the show. Thank God for battery backup. But it's also interesting to note how we've seen a good amount of resignations from congressmen, and we've seen a few CEOs step down. And I'm just wondering if there is something going on there, if maybe they're stepping down because they know something that we don't. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, look at the grand plot behind this. The Republicans, they didn't have to step down. They were swept out of office. See, they knew that if they caused malarkey, that the people were going to hate them and that they'd be voted out of office. So they didn't have to worry about retiring. The Democrats are retiring en masse right now. CEOs, over 150 CEOs from major corporations and things like that across the world have resigned in the last couple months. And you also have over 70 police chiefs across the United States, and a lot of them in major metropolitan areas that have resigned or are resigning very soon. You've got various CEOs dying. You had the, and I wouldn't be surprised if they're not faking their deaths. You've got the death of the Exxon CEO of a landslide or an avalanche up in Alaska, I believe. And then all of the upper management CEOs of, and the CFO, I believe, of Tesla Electric died 2 weeks ago in a crash. So, a lot of important people are just seeming to disappear one way or another, whether through resignation or death or whatnot. And they show you this in these movies, too. They show you in, Deep Impact, the senator just up and resigning and packing up on the boat and taking his family away. And so there's definitely a lot of upper, people in the know that are dropping back right now and kicking back, right as the economy also has come to a point where all the scams that are laid on top of scams on top of scams on top of scams are finally coming to a head. It can't sustain itself anymore. It's like, it's like trying to put patches on a dike. You can only do so much before it finally gives way, and that's where our economy is at right now. It's at the point of no return, and that's why all these guys are ditching out at the same. It's all coming together at pretty much the same time.
Right.
And,
it's very interesting.
Been a lot of big.
Yeah, I'm sorry to cut you off again. We have to break. I'm sorry, the delay is terrible.
Oh, okay.
We have to break again, but we'll pick that up on the other side. Stay with us. All right, welcome back to the show, everybody. I'm joined here by my guest Lucas. Again, the website that I've been throwing out there pretty much every segment, the-rabbits-hole.com. You can check out his video presentation they did at Brave New Books. A lot of people went to see that. Quite the crowd that came out to view all the information he was presenting. Very intriguing stuff there. You can also take a look at the text and image version of the presentation that gets into all the information we've been talking about throughout the show. But Lucas, you want to get into maybe some future signs that we might be seeing in the next couple months, years, or whatever that may indicate that we're closer to this potential event that may take place. So please, you have the floor.
Yeah, one thing I thoroughly believe, I'm about 99.9% sure, is that the powers that be will cause some sort of big diversionary event right before the main cosmic event. That way, it gives them a window of opportunity to run to their bunkers while everybody's worried about the event. Now, keep in mind, here's a big key to all this. Terrorism, okay? Okay, they lock down the airports. They have all the terrorists are trying to strike airplanes and airports. Why? I mean, there's a million other things you could do to be a terrorist, you know. I mean, a couple years ago, there was a massive drought out in the West. They could have been driving around throwing road flares out the windows and, you know, setting thousands of forest fires, but they're not doing that. They're not doing the obvious, easy things that they could do to terrorize the living daylights out of us. They're trying to attack the most sophisticated, most, the secure things in the country, and that's the airlines. Why? Well, the elites want to be able to lock all that stuff down when this whole event happens so that they can, you know, fly their minions and fly everybody they can. Why do you think that Denver Airport has a 1,000 gallon a minute capacity with pumping fuel? Because they want to be able to use that at some point in time for an exodus. So I think that there'll be a big diversion right before the event. Who knows what, you know, the elites can justify it in their head because a city like New York and not even have any remorse over it because they'll think in their head they were helping the people. You know, the people are just going to die in the event anyway. And so they'll do something for a big diversion right before it. You can look for probably some increased tidal activity. There's been a lot of rogue waves and freak waves that have been happening. More and more asteroids and fireballs and sonic booms. There's unexplained sonic booms breaking people's windows out all over the world, and airplanes typically don't do that. You know, there's going to be a much, you know, increased cover-ups and scandals. There's going to be more and more CEOs and chairmen and actors and people, ducking out of the spotlight. You know, completion of the Georgia Guidestones. They were never completed. The time capsule was never filled, and a date for them to be opened was never added to it. So if that thing is complete, that's another big sign. You know, there's right towards the, you know, food shortages and things like that. You know, look for troops being brought home from that's another big key. You know, Barack Obama said he was going to start bringing the troops home in 2011. Now, when in history has a president ever put a timeline on a troop withdrawal? Because, you know, the enemy will just wait out your timeline and then win the war. So
right.
He never put a timeline on a troop withdrawal. So, you know, 2011, bringing home the troops from Iraq, you know, start to bring home troops from weird areas like Germany, South Korea, Japan, things like that.
Yeah.
And also more and more active duty troops on U.S. soil. So these are all things that you can look for to, you know, kind of see what's going on ahead of time. Also, this is really interesting. Okay, you can find any scanner in the whole country on the internet. Just go to Google and type in Denver police scanner. Okay, we'll pull up a site called Radio Reference that has every scanner in the country where you can listen to it online. So if you listen to the Denver scanner, you can kind of get a grasp of how it works there. And when you see a spike in activity, you know that there's something going on there. Also, they have a weird channel on their scanner called Stargate. Okay, like, you know,
it's called the Stargate channel,
the main channel, which is, yeah, there's, they talk on the main channel, okay, and then when they want to go privately, they say, you know, meet me on channel whatever, and one of the channels that I've never heard them use it before, one of the channels is Stargate, and they've also got a gold and silver channel. So, you know, there's definitely something going on there with that. And you know, if you monitor that Denver New World Airport, you can, you know, maybe get a better grasp of what's going on. That's pretty much key. One thing we didn't mention on here is those gargoyles that are in the airport.
Oh, yeah.
They're sitting in suitcases, okay? And and the suitcases say Samsonite on them, you know, an old suitcase company. And basically, Samsonite is an anagram for Masonite.
Yes.
Another little clue that they've got going on there. But so those are possible things that you can look for. One thing I wanted to state about this that a lot of people may not understand. It's really kind of a catch-22 situation. Okay, if what would have happened if 20 years ago when they found out about this, if all of a sudden, you know, the news stations just said there's going to be a cosmic event and half the world's population is going to die in 20 years. Well, we would have already gone into this event collapsed. You know, the society would have collapsed and we would have gone into it already rummaging for food and in a pretty bad spot. So there was kind of a need, unfortunately, to keep this away from the general masses. Because if you don't, the general masses are going to stop going to work. The crime is going to skyrocket through the roof because people are not going to care about the future. And society is going to break down before we even get to the main event. So
yeah, they have to cover it up.
Just quiet.
Yeah, if there is an actual event that's going to take place, you have to cover it up. Otherwise, you're going to have widespread chaos. You know, that's absolutely true. And you know, another thing I wanted to touch upon briefly, and you kind of made a veiled reference to it, and that's the Denver International Airport. You know, would it be something if they might be using that airport as a potential exit point, as you were mentioning, to maybe escape into space when this whole thing happens? And we take a look at how you have people like Richard Branson with his Virgin Galactic fleet. You have more and more private interests funding these various space expeditions on a private basis. The NASA program has announced that they don't have any real missions in the foreseeable future. I mean, they just pretty much said, yeah, after these space shuttle missions are over, we got nothing after this. Unfortunately, Lucas, we're at a break, but I want to get your thoughts real quick on this. Then we'll continue on the other side. But any quick thoughts in the next 30 seconds on this?
Yeah, definitely. For instance, Hilton's going to be one of the big players in space. Well, look at the Hilton logo. What is the Hilton logo? It's the Twin Towers with a spiral in front of it. You know, it's these guys are definitely working together for something. And also, yeah, we're not going to do any more shuttle missions, but we're putting all these things up on the space station. So, you know, why are we building a space station just to abandon it up there? That makes no sense. They just put an observation deck, probably so they could sit in there and watch the world go to hell.
I hope that isn't the case, but I mean, it's very intriguing. I mean, why all of a sudden would NASA just stop all of these different missions and things that they were doing, completely abandon everything? It's kind of weird, but we'll talk more about this on the other side. Stay with us. All right, welcome back to the show. Joined here with my guest, Lucas, and we're talking about a number of very interesting subjects, particularly a potential conspiracy to really just replace all conspiracies that you could possibly imagine. This potential of some sort of cosmic event that may occur in the future that may have occurred every 3,000-something years in our past history. And it's very intriguing. When you look at Atlantis, when you look at the flood that afflicted the planet at the time of Noah, you know, you can just go on and on. It's very intriguing to see some of the research that he's compiled. And one of the things that we were talking about before the break was the premise that the Denver International Airport may very well be used as some sort of exodus point for the elite to escape from this event. And, you know, I was talking about how you have people like Richard Branson with his Virgin Galactic fleet, and you have more and more privatization of space exploration and space-based weapons and all these things that we've been covering on this show. And, you know, we know that NASA is pretty much the movie version of the space program. That's pretty well documented. And they have a secret space program with the Department of Defense. I mean, that's documented as well. You have Barack Obama coming out and saying that we have to merge NASA and the DOD space program. So there's a lot of very intriguing things happening, of course, as we mentioned in the previous segment, how NASA is ending all their space shuttle flights this year. I mean, they're ending them. So they're going to rely upon the Russians for travel up into space, supposedly. Of course, that's what they're saying on the surface. I think they have secret stuff behind the scenes. And you look at a film like Armageddon with the apocalyptic scenario, and you see how NASA had all this secret technology behind the scenes, and it was classified, top secret. So, you know, it's very intriguing when you look at all these correlations. But Lucas, any other further thoughts on this idea that maybe the Denver International Airport, the New World Airport, might be used as an access point for the elites?
Well, I haven't really done too much research into that, to be honest. I just recently found out that Stargate channel with the, you know, the scanners. But other than that, you know, it just doesn't make any sense that they would put, you know, an observation deck on the space station. And then, I mean, come on now. What, we're all buddies with Russia when it comes to the space race, but we're not buddies with them when it comes to the nuclear race and every, I mean, what's going on here? Either we're enemies with them, you know, either they're our foe or they're our friend. I mean, it just doesn't make sense that we're going to let them dictate our future of space. That just, that has no logical basis to it whatsoever. So, you know, there's obviously something going on with this, and why they would stop doing all the shuttle flights right now is beyond me. So, you know, I don't know what we're planning on going into space or anything. I know that there's a lot of privatization going on and things like that with, like, the Hilton, like I said before, with the logo. Just take a look at it, Google the logo. It's a spiral with the Twin Towers right behind it. So, you know, you got all that stuff going on. And, you know, what's one of the things, the most important thing anybody needs to research in this stuff is the ancients. That's the real key to all this stuff. Not just, you know, we've only touched upon a few things during this talk that we've had here. You research all the ancients, the Mayans, the Easter Island, especially the Egyptians, you know, things like that. And why do you think archaeology is one of the most suppressed sciences out there? You know, you try and get into one of the archaeological sites in Egypt, and you know, you're talking about years and years of red tape just to get permission to, you know, to look at it, and you can't do anything, basically. So they're really keeping that stuff down because they don't want people. It all leads to the same thing. That's why they keep archaeology down so much, because it really answers a lot of questions out there. And I mean, there are other archaeologists and people like Graham Hancock talking about this. You know, he's a reporter that's been researching this. They found a number of underwater cities. See, the thing is, years ago, at the end of the Ice Age, the ocean levels were 400 feet lower, 410 feet lower than they are today. And so humans generally build their establishments along the coasts, just like we do today. And we're paralleling a lot of things that happened a long time ago. For instance, Plato says Atlantis was at war with a number of different nations when the oceans rose up and sank it. So just like we're doing in the last times, maybe they had pre-knowledge of the event, and they were trying to steal the world's resources right before the event, just like doing, since we're the most technically advanced on the planet. We're out there trying to sum up all the world's resources and become the, I guess you could say, the whole thing is called the New World Order. It's for a new world. It's not for this world. It's for the new world after the fact. And that's what they've been planning around. It's their whole plot is based around this particular event that they've known about for a long time. I mean, all the ancient, even the Bible, I mean, it all talks about the same thing. It's all
you got wormwood in the Bible and Revelations.
Yeah, I mean, there's this, you know, there's it says, you know, there appeared a great sign in the heavens, you know, a huge red dragon. I mean, it's telling you up in the sky there's a red dragon. I mean, they've never found any archaeological evidence or, you know, bones of a dragon. It's a mythological creature, and it most likely comes from comets and space, you know, things coming into the planet. Because, see, when things from space come in, they don't look like, they look when they're out in space, they don't look like a serpent. They have horns and a tail. So, you know, people would generally classify that as a fire-breathing dragon. And, you know, you get these myths from all around the world, and a lot of this stuff has a basis that's actually true. You know, a lot of these myths actually, maybe, you know, levitation comes from the loss of gravity. You know, there might be some basis to that. So there's a lot of things out there. You look in the ancients and the cave drawings and the writings that'll pretty much sum it up for most people. That's usually what's the kicker for everyone.
It's very intriguing stuff. It's very interesting, and I encourage everybody to look into it. Let's see if we can take a quick phone call. Let me see if I can work this. We should have Esther on the line. Esther, how you doing?
Hi, Lee?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Sure can.
Okay, great. I really do enjoy your program. Every night to listen to it. I'm on the East Coast, so.
Thank you.
Anyway, hello?
Yep, you're still on.
Yeah, as many times as you've thrown out that website, I'm not understanding it. So if you could please slow down and spell it out or whatever.
Sure,
for
maybe
people that don't understand.
Yeah, maybe I can let Lucas spell it out since I'm doing a bad job, since I'm just rambling and just speaking too quickly. Lucas, do you want to give her the website?
Yeah, sure, no problem. It's the hyphen or dash, whatever you want to call it,
rabbits,
right. with an S at the end, rabbits. Hyphen whole, yeah, with an S.
The word rabbit, like the animal?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hey, rabbits.
Rabbits. No? Yes. Hyphenhole.com.
Mm-hmm. That's the last word I'm not hearing.
Whole, H-O-L-E.
Oh, H-O-L-E.com?
Yes, right.
Oh, like, okay, the-rabbit-hole.com?
Yes,
that's right. It. Yep.
Oh, okay. Sounds very interesting. Well, okay, it's been great listening. So, I really feel like there is a lot of stuff going on. And you see, I just recently lost my daughter. She had a very rare disease, and I've been studying it. And
yes, sir. We have to break real quick. We have to break real quick, but I'll hold you on their side and let you finish your thoughts, folks. We'll be right back, and we'll take Esther's phone call. Stay with us. All right, final half hour of the show. Thank you very much for tuning in. I'm joined here by my guest, Lucas. The-rabbits-hole.com is the website. Definitely check it out. And we also have Esther on the line. And unfortunately, we were rudely cut off by the break. So, Esther, do you have some thoughts on the information we're covering or a question for our guest?
Well, no. I realize that there's a reason my daughter has gone now. And I just have I've always studied a lot of stuff like this, and I'm really glad to be listening to you, Mr. Lucas, because I really sense something's going to be happening big time. God has always given me that gift to see way ahead. I feel that would always get me in trouble because I could always see things way ahead, you know. Not ESP or anything like that, just an understanding of what's truly happening. And I'm so glad to have found this website. So I'm thankful. I'm thankful for your guest, Luke.
Hey, thank you.
Okay, so, and I don't know, I tell people because of my name of Esther, like Queen Esther in the Bible, I'm here for such a time as this, so I keep warning people about everything. So anyway, I study all this to help people. My husband thinks that I'm obsessed, but oh well.
Well, it's definitely some crazy information. But hey, Esther, thanks for the phone call. I appreciate your points. And yeah, I mean, this information is pretty crazy, Lucas. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah. It's quite a mind-warping experience, that's for sure. Because, you know, once I started going down the hole further and further, obviously the rabbit hole that everybody falls down has different levels. You know, you end up falling down so far and landing on a level and falling down a little farther, and each one's a trip in its own. And definitely this was the farthest down I'll probably ever get in my entire life. There was definitely a period of disbelief, you know, where I didn't believe it. You know, I was like almost in denial. I was like trying the best to try and prove all this stuff, you know, find things that disproved, and I haven't been able to. So that's another thing that's really weird. You know, I've watched the trends of different sites. Like, I'm going to tell everybody this out there right now. The majority of sites and things that are run by the government. Okay, most people don't know that a lot of these major conspiracy sites on the internet are all set up and run by the government, and they're basically operations to take information on you. Everything you post, everything you put on there is context, you know. And a troll is simply, these guys are government ops to come on, and they'll post something like, guns are great, or they'll post something like, you know, teach me how to use my AK-47. You know, and everybody that goes on there and answers these threads is being indexed and tracked. So, you know, they've definitely planned around this event tremendously at great cost to all of us, you know, we don't even know how much this really has cost us. We could probably all be living pretty darn good lives if this whole thing wouldn't be going down. All that money that's been stolen from our, you know, our wages. I mean, everything you see today. There's, you know, 22% unemployment right now. So, yeah, it's definitely a total rush. I've had a lot of people contact me. I was pretty shocked at how many people showed up at the presentation itself. We were expected about 20 people, and about close to 90, I guess, showed up. And there was a lot of people sending me emails and things. And I just had a guy just send me an email the other day saying he's pretty much been up for the last 5 days. So I mean, if you don't want to learn about this stuff, if you know, it's pretty much a, you know, it's a burden. It's definitely a burden on your heart, because then you start thinking about all your friends and family, and you know that if you know, if it happens, you're not going to be able to get them all out. There's you know, another interesting thing is the Egyptians. The calendar used to be 360, you know, 3,700 years ago, and all of a sudden the orbit changed, and they had to change the calendar to 365 days. And the Egyptians still celebrated the 360-day calendar, but they specified those 5 extra days that were added as days of the dead, where they mourned all their family and friends that had been lost in that time period. So, you know, it's going to be a crazy time. And, hey, I'm moving to Colorado myself. You know, there's different aspects of it that, you know, some people say, oh, you don't want to go by the elites. Well, put it this way, the elites are not going to nuke their own. Okay, and also if there is some sort of attack by Russia and China, if they're not really all working together, we don't know what's really going on at the top, but if there is some sort of attack, at least in that area, they're going to have all the anti-missile batteries protecting their own selves, so that's, you know, that's probably the safest place for me to go.
Yeah, thanks. Well,
the
yeah,
whole Yellowstone thing.
Right.
You know, you don't know with the Yellowstone thing, because I mean that's a whole card, you know, that's a not a whole card but a wild card basically. And if that thing goes, who knows what's going to happen? But you know, I'm pretty much going where those guys are, because they've got all the telescopes and all the science behind it, and you know, that's the best I can do.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Well, here's the $1 million question, and I know there's no way for us to really predict when this is going to happen. But we're discussing this during one of the commercial breaks. And, you know, obviously this 2012 thing, as we talked about before, it appears to be a massive psyop. They are spending an outrageous amount of time getting everybody worked up about December 21st, 2012. That's the big conspiracy. Come 2012, you have galactic alignment and all these things are going to happen, and polar shift, and, you know, all these theories are put out there. But so, I mean, that leads me to believe that if there is a real event that's going to happen, some sort of cosmic event, you know, you even have the asteroid Apophis that people have been talking about as well. And, you know, that might be a potential threat out there that, of course, this asteroid is supposed to come by around 2029 and 2036. So that's another possibility there. But it leads me to believe that if a real event is going to happen, it's not going to happen in 2012. It'll either happen before or it'll happen way after. So one of the things I think might possibly be happening here is that it might be a boy cried wolf scenario, in which they get everybody worked up about 2012, and everybody relaxes, and then 10, 20 years down the road, you have the event. But and what's your thoughts on when it's going to happen? Do you think it's going to happen before or after?
I've pondered this question from the very beginning, and I've looked for so many different clues, and I've come to a couple different things that I found that, you know, I can't say that they're the truth, but March 22nd, 2013 is when the Georgia Guidestones will be exactly 33 years old. Okay, March 22nd, what number is that? 322. March 22nd, 322 is also the skull and bones number. Right. So that's one possible scenario, because what could happen after December 21st, 2012? Nothing happens, and then everybody says, oh, all that conspiracy malarkey, don't worry about it. And everybody goes back to their life, and then all of a sudden, just 3 months later, bam. You know, so that could be a possible one. I also saw, if the elites are really using these movies to communicate with, in that movie 2012, I saw 3 different references to 1028 and 928. So there's a scene right in the beginning where he
wakes this
up
year, right?
Late and he looked
this year,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, he looks. He wakes up on the couch and he looks at it. He's like, he looks at his watch and he goes, "I'm a dead man. I'm a dead man. I'm a dead man." And he looks at his watch, and the watch says 9:28 with 10 seconds. And all throughout, like, you have to watch that series of 9/11 in Hollywood to understand what I'm talking about that. But there's definitely something going on with the way they set watches and digital readouts in movies. The Matrix had 5 references to 9/11 alone. Same with True Lies. I mean, that was riddled with 9/11 references. And, you know, there's just there's something going on with that. And so I get the number 10 or 9:28:10 out of that movie. And that could very well be, you know, think about this. They do some sort of false flag this year, and then on 9/28, the event happens. So they have all that time between 9/11 and 9/28 to run to their bunkers. But, you know, we don't even know if they know. There's too many variables involved in this. So, you know, they could just be putting out this disinformation just to screw with people. You never know. I mean, all you can do is go by what you had. I think the Apophis thing, that's probably just to divert people's attention. You know, that's so far down the road. They would never tell us about that ahead of time. Just like this, just like when you saw the news articles disappear about, you know, the object in space back in the 80s. They wouldn't talk about Apophis and how we're going to stop.
Hey, Lucas, we got a break again, unfortunately. But we'll pick up on the other side. Stay with us, everybody. Last segment coming up. All right, final segment of the show. And, man, it's gone by fast. We've covered a lot of ground. I'm joined here by my guest, Lucas. Again, let me throw out the website one more time. I'll try to speak as clearly as possible. The website is the-rabbits, that's plural, with an S, -hole.com. Again, that's the-rabbits-hole.com. And you can see all the information we're talking about on the show up on his website. You can take a look at his video presentation that he did at Brave New Books. And it's up there, I think, like 12 or 13 parts. Also available on YouTube. So definitely check out all of that stuff. And Lucas, it's kind of interesting because there's also another guy that has been putting out similar information, John Moore. And I just want to touch upon him briefly because he was actually on the network on our show, on Jimmy X's show over the weekend, mentioning about a lot of the same things. Of course, he studied the phony global warming thing. Of course, that appears to just be a massive hoax. There's a number of different levels that hoax and why they decided to bombard everybody with all this global warming propaganda. But, you know, he's telling everybody to go to the Ozarks, and we're talking about this during the break. It seems to me if there's going to be some sort of cataclysm, especially with tidal waves and things of this nature, wouldn't you be better served going someplace higher like the Rocky Mountains as opposed to the Ozarks? You know, it just seems kind of strange to me.
Yeah, that's where all the big guys are, you know, they're going to the high ground, and I wouldn't trust the Ozarks myself, you know. I'm not going to mention, we talked about trust on the break there, and I'm not going to mention any names, but, you know, there's a lot of Pied Pipers out there leading people around in circles, getting you to chase your tail like dogs, you know, and basically, you know, if they keep people stuck in the 9/11 paradigm all the time about, you know, whether it's an inside job or not, we all know it is. The majority of the public knows it is, but yet people are still left chasing their tail, arguing every day with their friends about whether it was an inside job or not. You know, and that gets people nowhere. Same thing with global warming, all the other conspiracies. These things are all designed. A conspiracy is the conspiracy that, you know, as long as they keep people in a frame of mind where they're chasing their tail, then they're never going to figure out what the truth is. And that what really led me to it is they overwhelmed me with all these conspiracies, and I thought, God, they got to be covering up something. And sure enough, you know, you start doing the research into it, and it all leads down the same path. So there are definitely, I tell you this, I know that this presentation has been brought to the attention of, you know, a few people in the upper echelons of the trust of the truth movement, and it has been ignored completely, just, you know, like it didn't even exist. So, you know, people need to make money off of things and do things, and this is not conducive to that because it kind of trumps every other conspiracy out there. And
right.
So that's, you're never going to see this on CBS or ABC or anything like that. That ain't never going to happen. But yeah, that's why I chose your show, because you're a trusting, you're a trustworthy guy, and I know you're not one of the powers that be. So this will probably be the only show I do too.
Oh, well, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing this information with the audience. And thank you for the kind words. You know, I've been doing this for the past, 2.5 years. And, you know, I work a full-time job, and I just come here and just go on air for 3 hours just trying to expose all the hypocrisy and all the conspiracies that are going on. But, you know, the one thing that you mentioned I think that's really interesting is the fact that we are being overwhelmed with conspiracies. I mean, it's just nonstop. I do 3 hours of radio, and I can't cover all the day-to-day news. It's so easy to get lost in all the information that we're being bombarded with. You have to wonder if this is intentionally being done by design to intentionally just throw out all this information, all these bad things that are going on to keep us overwhelmed with. And, you know, I think that what you said about a lot of people in the upper echelons of the so-called conspiracy research community is definitely accurate. And one particular host who we've talked about a lot in this show and I believe have exposed a great deal, you know, he's not going to touch this stuff with a 10-foot pole. And he's more content with getting people to look at issues that really don't mean anything, getting people to fight about Deborah Medina and political candidates and other issues. And, you know, he's not going to touch this. And, you know, if he does, I'd be very surprised. I don't think, you said, it's conducive to him selling more DVDs. And quite honestly, I think the guy's working for the New World Order. I think everybody knows who I'm talking about.
Yeah, I don't want to get into any names about stuff, but, you know, it's just that there are a lot of people out there working for those guys because they knew a long time ago. They know that there are two types of people, ones that want to be in denial and ones that want to seek the truth. There's a searchlight soul people out there. They search for the truth because they know they're being, you know, they know they're being bullcrapped all the time, so they search for the truth. And they knew that they had to have a group of people to be their leaders. You know, just like when the Black Panthers were infiltrated, they found out that over 25% of their upper management was actually the government. So,
yep.
You know, these guys, they've been doing this for a long time. I mean, you know, anybody wants to see some interesting stuff, watch Inglourious Basterds. Great movie. In the movie, Quentin Tarantino wants you to know two words that come from German, and that is politics and doctor. And those two words are the two things that are guiding America today, doctors and politics, pharmaceuticals and the laws. And so basically, yeah, there are a lot of people out there that are basically, you know, pied piping rats over a cliff. Well, the real truth is being, and I mean, it's a shame, but that's the way it is. And, you know, what are you going to do about it except try and survive the event and make it through on the other side?
Yeah, well, I mean, the one thing that we don't know is when it's going to happen. So, you know, there is some hope, I would think, that, you know, we may not see this event in the next few years. And, you know, despite the fact there's a lot of information and evidence indicating that there's definitely preparation or something. There is a chance that this event, whatever it might be, is not going to happen right away. And I hope that's actually the case because, you know, I don't want to scare anybody. I don't want people to be all freaked out by the information we're talking about here. But, you know, I mean, just look at the info for yourself and decide for yourself what preparations you think you should make based upon the information that that Lucas is providing. So, and Lucas, you're moving to Denver in the next few months, I think you mentioned earlier. So, you know, everybody's got to decide for themselves, you know, what they think is best and how best to prepare. And, you know, it's always good to prepare because, you know, who knows what these elitists are going to do and who knows what may come down the road in the future. So, you know, I think either way, it's always good to be prepared, irregardless of what's going to happen.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I mean, and who knows, nothing may even happen. I mean, I hope I'm totally wrong. That's what I was going to say before the break. Yeah, before the break, I was going to say that there's been a very weird lack of debunkers when it comes to this because they can't debunk it. So what happens is they end up looking stupid. So they've taken the tactic of ignoring it. I saw something going on a certain website, one of the world's biggest conspiracy websites that I've never witnessed on a forum like that before. And I know we don't have time to get into it, but they're eerie ignoring of this. The debunkers are completely absent. So I think that they've just said they can't beat it, so just ignore it. So yeah, there's nothing may ever happen. You don't know with space. You know, who knows, whatever object is out there, it might have taken another course. You know, who knows what's going to happen. All I know is that the elites are preparing for something big, and I am not going to. If I thought that there was a 10% chance that my house would fall into a big giant hole in the next year, I would still move, because 10% is too, you know, it's a pretty good odds that it could happen. So.
Yeah, too high for me, that's for sure.
I'm going to go to high ground and see where it goes from there.
Yeah. Well, hey, Lucas, that's unfortunately all the time we have, but I definitely appreciate you coming on the show and sharing the information that you compiled about all this stuff. And I encourage everybody to check out your website, the-rabbits-hole.com. And, Lucas, thanks again for coming on the show.
Hey, no problem. I had a great time, man.
All right. Well, hey, thanks, Lucas. And, definitely some very intriguing information, so be sure to check it out. But anyway, folks, that's it for the show. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll be back tomorrow. Take care, everybody.